Kia ora e te whanau. We're back. We've had a holiday and we're back. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, eh? Maybe a good thing? Yeah, good. Thanks, Brett. I appreciate that. At least one person's happy we're back. That's great news. Sorry, I actually missed that, Nigel. That might be a good thing. What I'm going to do first up today is we're just going to bring up the chorus of that clean that we just sang this morning. So I will rise and lift my head, for by his mercy, my life, our lives, were spared. Next two lines. Next one. It's the highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart, our hearts, are clean. Beautiful chorus, absolutely beautiful chorus, and fits heavily with what we're going to be talking about today. Now, whānau, as we've already said, we are entering into a season of journeying a book. This can be a really good thing, this can be a really hard thing, but the next 6 weeks we're going to delve into the book of Romans. And I've been pondering this week, this whole series of Romans. I've been thinking this through and wondering how we're going to do all of this in 6 weeks. We could take a whole year on Romans if we really wanted to. And family, this book can be a very confronting book. Paul has spent a lot of time building his gospel, and his gospel is very oppositional to the secular world that he would have lived in, but even more so, I'd argue, to the secular world that we live in now. It's confronting because it calls us to be more than we currently are. It calls us to express who Jesus is in our lives even more. Family, I have known many people in my life. I've known many people who have grown up in the church, have taken the time to learn a little bit about the gospel, and then they've ended up at university, or they've ended up at work, and then Christianity, they leave it behind. I've known many people that's happened. This book, I think, could have done some of those people a lot of good. That understanding of the gospel, of who we are as a church, of the message that we are trying to portray in our daily lives, is pivotal to who we are. Family, I even think of my own journey and at times the shallow faith that I've carried through some of my life and how easy it has been to not even defend this gospel. At times I have struggled to defend this gospel and to understand it to its entirety. Family, I'll also be honest with you as well. Before we started this series, we put a little thing out there. We said, hey, we could start some Bible studies and we could delve even deeper into this during the week. And I'll be honest, we haven't had a lot of response. And that's okay. That's okay because I'm telling you now it's not too late. Yeah? Just because we don't have any official ones signed up, that doesn't mean that you can't grab some people next to you after this and go, hey, we're going to catch up for coffee this week. We're going to talk about this Romans book, yeah? It doesn't mean that we can't continue to do that. Family, I say all of this because this book is pivotal to our understanding of the gospel. A good understanding helps us to navigate what life looks like in an increasing secular society, yeah? This is possibly going to hurt along the way. And I know we've only been here 6 months, and that makes that difficult for us too, because I'm not entirely sure how comfortable I feel saying some of this stuff. But we'll journey that, yeah? We'll journey that together. It will be confronting. It will challenge us all to dig deeper into the Word. To dig deeper into our faith and our understanding of our Creator. Is anyone excited? Yeah? Is anyone a little bit scared? Yeah, I must admit, I'm a little bit scared. What is it going to mean for me moving forward? But we don't need to be. because Jesus is at the center of this. He will lead us, he will guide us, he will show us a way through. I'm excited, family. This is going to be a good season for us here at Miramar. So, as it's the beginning of a series, a good place to start whenever you're looking at any book of the Bible is a bit of background, yeah? So this might be the biggest set of background that you get in any one of our sermons, all right? So, Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, that's probably not a surprise. Most of the letters in the Bible were highly likely written by the Apostle Paul. Now, he's written this around AD 57, if you're trying to look at his time frame, give or take 1 or 2 years, AD 57. He would have been in Corinth at the time on his third missionary trip. Paul has actually reached an important transition in his missionary journey. He's been preaching the gospel. He's been planting many, many thriving churches over the last 25 years. He's been a church planter and a former of a gospel for 25 years, and that's probably still not even enough to get it right. He's taking a moment to reflect on everything he's done and what he's learnt before he heads off to Spain. He's been forming this gospel and understanding of what it means to live a life for God after salvation has been realized. This book of Romans has often been described, the theme of Romans has often been described as justification through faith alone. But I'm here to tell you now, I have read many commentaries this week, and every single one of them said it's not just that, it's not just that, it's also about what follows that. It's about what it is to be righteous beyond that. Salvation is simply the first step in a Christian's journey. It's not the penultimate point, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of our lives in following Christ. The church in Rome, the Christians in Rome, were mostly Gentile. So there were some Jews, but the Gentile population in the church had actually overtaken the Jewish population. And they were very familiar with Paul's gospel or the way in which he preached it. In fact, many of them actually would have been present at Pentecost, which is interesting as well. Paul begins the Romans letter in traditional fashion with some prescript, some thanksgiving and occasion, followed by the theme of the book. Always a good place to start when you're writing an essay or a letter A. What am I going to tell you today? So what we are going to journey over the next 6 weeks is actually in Romans 1, 16 and 17. So if you've got your Bible there, you've got your phone there, you want to hover around Romans 1, 2 and 3 today, okay? You want to hover around there. But what we're going to read right now is Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Jesus, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. I guess in other words, those who discover Jesus and discover his salvation will live by faith. Family, the theme of this book is in essence the gospel. It's the good news, or at least Paul's interpretation of the good news, that salvation is a gift freely given by God, our Creator, the Creator of the universe. He freely gave this gift of grace of salvation through through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Through faith, we accept this gift of salvation. And like I said, that is where the journey begins. This is where we spend the rest of our lives, trying to be more and more like Jesus each and every day. The passage we're going to focus on mostly today is actually in Romans 1, 18 to 25. As I said, feel free to hover over that kind of area. But what I want to say today is that the main point of, chapter 1 and chapter 2 is actually found in chapter 3. Okay, so this is actually the main point of what he's trying to do throughout these three chapters. So even if you don't catch up in a group this week, I'm going to encourage you, check out Romans 1, 2, and 3, at least to start your week. And in Romans 3, the point he's trying to make throughout these entire two chapters is Romans 3, 23 and 24. Romans 3, 23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here's the catch. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So all have sinned, but all have access to a way out. Yeah, all have access to a way out. As we journey chapter 1, 18 to 25, you can jump back to that if that's helpful. As we delve through this first chapter of Romans, we'll be able to draw on three points that Paul makes. Firstly, that we are separated from God. Second, we worship statues or idols. You'd normally hear them referred to as idols. We reconnect with God through Jesus' salvation. Now, I've done that on purpose. That's three S's. And my hope is that that'll help you to remember what we're talking about today. Firstly, we are separated from God. We worship our statues, our idols. We reconnect with God through Jesus, through salvation. So if you're in your Bible there, Romans 1, 18 to 20. Romans 1, 18 to 20. The wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all the godless and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. The first part of Paul's gospel explores the idea of separation from God and humanity being deserving of God's wrath. That's probably not something that we generally want to delve into, this idea of God's wrath or the fact that we're deserving of God's wrath. But this idea of wrath is actually speaking to this idea of separation. We become separated from God. And to understand that, we actually have to go back to the very beginning. We have to go back to Genesis. See, at the beginning, God's original intention was that everything would be good. Yeah? He wanted everything to be good. You think of the creation story. How many times does he say at the end of a day? And it was good. It was good. That was God's original intention. See, God is good and everything about him is good. Everything he created was in essence good. Family, God is so good that he cannot be around evil or bad things, yeah? We've heard it said in the Bible that if you see his face, you'd be destroyed, yeah? That's this whole idea of we're separated. We can't see his face because we'd be destroyed, because we're not good. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they exposed all creation. Now, I want to be clear that they exposed all creation to sin, death, and destruction. That's where we sit. That is why we are separate. Family, Paul is saying what we already know is that humanity, by its nature, if we're left to our own devices, we are godless and wicked. This is quite heavy, eh? This is what I'm saying. This is quite heavy to think, actually, we're not perfect. although we probably all feel that on a daily basis, yeah? Sit there and go, oh man, I stuffed that up again. This means we are now separated from God since that moment, since what we call the fall, yeah? We are now separated from God. The relationship is broken, and we are now exposed to the opposite of what God originally intended. Now, family, if we want to look for examples in our world, I don't believe it's hard to find examples of where sin, death, and destruction are present, of how we are so separate from God. You can think of sickness, illness, disease. I want to be clear that it's not if you sin, you get sick or ill, or do you understand? It's that we've been exposed to a world of death and destruction and illness and all of that. You can be a righteous person and you can get cancer, yeah? It's just part of the world we live in. But there's also many other things going on in our world. Envy, hate, lust, all of these things are all part of what God didn't originally intend. But there's one thing that's driving me nuts at the moment, okay? And you see it all the time. Does anyone else get really irked when they hear stories about scammers? Yeah? Does it really, does it get you down in your soul? You're like, this, whoa! Does it? Like, honestly, I get so angry, and every now and again I'll get an email. I got one just this week. It was a text message. Oh, you drew a road toll.
Yes, I got that.
You got it too? Yep. I got the road, yeah, there you go. There's three of us this week, or there are four of us this week that got the road toll one. Yeah, I have not been on a toll road. So I know it's not for me, but it just irks me to my soul that this is going on. These people are trying to take advantage of other people. This can ruin someone's life. It's insane, and it drives me nuts. Countless emails, text messages, even Facebook Marketplace. You try and sell something on Facebook Marketplace, and someone tries to scam you. Family, I think it's 90% of people in New Zealand, 90% of people will have some kind of scam going on in their life. Like they'll get sent a scam at least. 10% of people fall for it. That's still a high number. That's 185,000 households, according to Consumer NZ. 185,000 households that are being firstly preyed upon and then they fall for it. This really irks me, and this is not what God intended. He did not intend for brothers and sisters to be doing this to each other. He didn't want us to be jealous, envious, all of these things. This is not what he wanted, but this is what the separation has caused, and this is what is so easy for us to get bogged down in and to become part of. We're separated from God and family. We worship statues. Let's have a look at Romans 1, 21 to 25. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. These are these idols. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desire of their hearts. This is fascinating. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts for sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. For a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Family, Paul is talking about idols or statues, if you want to carry your S's into the week. Family, our idols, our statues, they are anything that take our focus, that consume our time and take us away for God's purpose in our lives. Well, the Tyndale commentary that I read this week said, idolatry is the source of all our immorality. not just some all out immorality. In fact, I would probably argue that any time we sin, it's because of some idol that has come into our life and it has consumed us in some way, and we have submitted to it. Anything that we idolize draws us into some level of immorality. And when we embrace our idol, God hands us over to it. This speaks of this choice. See, our Creator didn't want robots. He didn't want robots that said, "Yes, I serve you, that is great." You know, like, that's not what God wanted. God wanted us to choose to follow Him. Yeah? And when we choose an idol, when we choose to do something else, we're choosing the opposite. We're choosing that separation. And family, the reality is that the idols that we delve into may not be inherently bad things on their own, but it's what we turn them into by our use of them. And when we turn away from devotion of God and devotion to that thing. Again, family, examples are easily found in secular society. I mean, take consumerism, yeah? Anytime you go, "I need that thing. I need this thing. I cannot live my life without whatever this is," yeah? I'm sure we've all fallen for that, yeah? But I think possibly, and I'll go on about this probably for the rest of my life, this thing here is not an inherently bad thing, yeah? I can ring my dad on this and we can have a conversation and we can organise catching up for lunch, which is a great thing. We can build friendships, we can organise time together, we can probably create posters, all sorts of stuff that draw this family together for all sorts of things. Yeah, this is not an inherently bad thing on its own. But when we draw our attention to it for hours upon hours upon hours, and family, I'm guilty of this too. I'm not claiming that, you know, I'm absolutely guilty of this too. The fact that a term called doom scrolling exists is a horrible thing. Seriously, you think about it. The idea that the term doom scrolling exists means that we're sitting on these phones, scrolling away, losing hours of our lives that we could be devoting to Jesus. That's a hard pill to swallow, eh? It's a really hard pill to swallow because I know that I've sat there and I've watched some hilarious reels, yeah? I've gone and I've been flipping laughing so hard that I've been crying. This is true, eh? I'll sit there somewhere, and I'm glad that it's obviously targeting me with comedy stuff, but that's not a good thing, eh? I'm losing time that I could be devoting to my family, for one, but also to Jesus, yeah? It's huge. And what is, inherently, it could be a good thing in the way that we use it. Just something to think about it. We're separated from God and we worship our statues, our idols. But family, here is the beautiful news of the gospel. Here is the beautiful news of Jesus, is that we can reconnect with God through Jesus' salvation. Can I get an amen? Amen? All of this doom scrolling and all of this doom and gloom in our world, we can reconnect with our Savior. There is another choice. There is another option for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Family, the rest of Romans 1 and chapter 2 is Paul building on these ideas. More doom and gloom of the fact that we have fallen short of the glory of God. One commentator I read, he entitled this section, "The Universal Reign of Sin." The universal reign of sin. Paul takes two chapters to remind us that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Family, you have fallen short of the glory of God. I have fallen short of the glory of God. Our Salvation Army leaders have fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, I can guarantee you our general has fallen short of the glory of God, and I bet you he'd even admit it. Family, even the previous Pope and the current Pope, the heads of the Catholic Church, have fallen short of the glory of God. We are separated from God, and family, we choose often to worship many idols outside of our God. But Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Here's the good news. "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." Yay. Yes. I don't have to be lost in my doom scrolling. Yeah? I don't have to actually worry about scammers because Jesus has set me free. Yeah? Jesus has given me another way to live my life. Jesus has made a way through the separation, through the loneliness, through the hurt, through everything that kills us inside. And he's made a way for us to get through. So what does that mean for us today? What do we take away from this? Family, I hope I'm not alone in this, but does anyone else carry this sense of there's something wrong with our world? Yeah, we've just been talking about it a lot. Do you carry that sense of that in your life? Do we struggle when things get hard and we have to face a hardship? Do we get really annoyed when we see injustice and brokenness? Family, the surety that we have in this life is that brokenness, injustice, this irking feeling is actually always going to be there. That's one of the sureties we have. And I know that sounds horrible, but that's always going to be around us, yeah? We're always going to face hardship. There's always going to be sin. There's always going to be death. There's always going to be destruction. But Romans 3, 23 to 24. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All of us have. "But all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." There's our choice. We can choose through faith to follow Jesus. We can choose to have that first step happen in our life and spend every day that follows trying to be a little bit more like Jesus. Whatever we face, we can face it through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus has made us clean through his death, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. All of that stuff at the beginning of what we've been talking about doesn't matter when we accept that salvation that is freely offered. Family, grace not deserved but given freely. Given freely, knowing that many in this world will turn it down. God knew that many people would reject Jesus, and they still do to this day. But salvation was offered anyway. Family, what it means for us today is that the world around us it's not going to change. But our Creator, the Creator of the universe, wants to help us navigate it. And he wants to spend eternity with us, with everyone. Salvation is just the first step in the journey of Christianity. It's the beginning, not the end. Salvation is the path to righteousness, to reflecting Jesus. Family, our world could use a little bit more righteousness. A lot more reflecting Jesus. Family, that's when his kingdom falls in this place. That's when his kingdom comes, is when people are striving to be more like him, when they accept his salvation and strive to be more like him. The hard thing is, Jesus needs to be at the center of everything we do. We need to make him our number one priority in each and every second of each of every day. We need to allow him to piece by piece make us clean, to make us righteous, to make us the people he originally intended us to be. Step by step, day by day, becoming more like him. Family, no matter how broken you're feeling this morning, the sins that we carry, the beauty is that we have a Savior who wants to make us clean. He wants to free us from that separation, that death, that destruction, and make us who he originally intended us to be. Jesus has made a way for us. Family, this part of Romans, I feel, can only call for one response. We're talking about salvation, yeah? So if you're feeling the weight of the world this morning, if you're really feeling the sense of that separation, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you want to experience that first moment again, if you want to be freed from the path that leads you away, freed from your idols, I'm going to ask you to stand. Family, if this is your first experience of salvation, if you've never experienced Jesus before, I'm going to ask you to stand. Because we all need God's salvation. We all need Jesus' salvation in our lives. And what we're going to do as we stand, as we want to be freed from those idols, as we want to be reconnected with God again, it's not saying that we're not currently connected with God, but we may just need to reconnect a little bit more. If that's what you want this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for Jesus' salvation to fill us all again, to lead us in the path of righteousness, to draw us closer to him. And family, in the next few years to come, however long this place is open, I'm going to say, let's say 200, 300, 400, 500 years, whatever it is, God's kingdom is going to fall in this place through his people, yeah? We're going to bring a little bit of insight into what heaven's going to look like, to what end times are going to look like. And family, we're going to change this community, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is in our lives. Man, that's exciting. God is good, he cares, and he wants to have relationship with us. Family, let's share a prayer together. Lord, we want to thank you for Paul, the Apostle Paul, and everything that he has done for the church. Lord, let us not be ashamed of the gospel. Lord, as we journey Romans, let us take these confronting thoughts head on. And Lord, may we draw closer to you. Lord, at times we have felt separated from you. We have felt like you are so far away. But God, today, for those who are standing, Lord, I pray that that separation would not be felt today. Lord, that they would feel closer to you today than they ever have before. Lord, we have many idols in our lives, many things that draw our time away from you. Lord, some of them aren't that bad. So, Lord, we just pray that those idols, Lord, we would use them for your glory. Lord, we would use them to draw community together, to build your kingdom in this world. And Lord, we wouldn't use them as idols anymore. Lord, let us focus wholeheartedly on you. In faith, accept your salvation and be set free from the pain of this world. Lord, draw us closer to you. Fill us with your Spirit today. And move us forward in the path of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for making us clean. We pray all of this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. Family, we're going to sing again, Clean. So please, if you'd stand with us, let's sing together.